night I had a dream that the world had turned around. All our hopes had come to be, and the people gathered around. They all brought what they could bring, and nobody went with that. I only learned a song to sing. The revolution starts now.
Happy Pago Wicca-Rama Christmas Hana Kwanzaa, everybody. Welcome to Indie Media Live, one of the most progressive half hours on the radio because we have no corporate sponsorship and no corporate control. I hope you'll stay tuned to hear what a difference that makes. We're a little early, but happy Yule. Solstice is going to occur 5:30 a.m. on Thursday, December 22nd. I'm so excited about that. It's called the winter solstice in the northern hemisphere, the summer solstice in the southern hemisphere. I want to remind everybody that you can always stream this or any of the other great programming on WRIR live at WRIR.org. This show that you'll hear today will be re-aired on the live stream tomorrow, 11:30 a.m. and 2:30 p.m., so you can listen to the show over and over. I have a great guest today. Randy Huya is here. He is the executive vice president of the Wildlife Center of Virginia, and we're going to be talking with him in just a minute. But first of all, I want to remind everybody that the Alebba Folklore Society is sponsoring the 2011 Capital City Kwanzaa Festival again this year, Saturday, December 31st at the Showplace, 3000 Mechanicsville Turnpike, from 1 p.m. until 9 p.m. Everybody is welcome. It's a great family event. And this year, we are so excited. Legendary actress and humanitarian Miss Ruby Dee is coming to Richmond to be here with all of us. So you want to mark your calendar for that. The group Bark, the dog rescue group, is going to be wrapping Christmas presents on December 23rd at Barnes & Noble. And you want to come out and support that, I'm sure. Another way to support Bark is to go out to Bar Louie at Short Pump at Broad and Lauderdale, because from December 17th through the 24th, they are mixing specialty cocktails to benefit Bark. Remember, don't drink and drive, but that is a great way to support a wonderful organization. And remember that there are so many groups, Farm Sanctuary and Ricky's Refuge, that are all giving opportunities for great stocking stuffers this year. I want to introduce you to my guest now, Randy Huya, the Executive Vice President of the Wildlife Center of Virginia, is with us. And the Wildlife Center is a hospital for native wildlife, and this group is internationally acclaimed. They are a teaching and research hospital for wildlife and conservation medicine, and they're located in Waynesboro, Virginia. Randy Huya, thank you so much for being here with us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for the invitation.
Let's jump right in and tell our listeners what the Wildlife Center of Virginia is all about.
The Wildlife Center was formed in 1982 to fill a critical need to provide emergency health care to wild animals. Certainly there are many talented veterinarians across the Commonwealth who are able to take care of cats and dogs and a wide variety of other pets. There really wasn't any place to take an animal, a wild animal in need, whether that's a possum that had been hit by a car or a hawk that had been shot. So the center was formed. It is a nonprofit organization. Since its creation, we have treated almost 60,000 wild animals, representing about 200 different species from all across Virginia.
You know, one thing we're trying to do on Indie Media Live is help our listeners understand how important this part of Virginia is. We've done shows on the George Washington National Forest. And I'm so glad to have the Wildlife Center on today because you guys are on the other side of the mountain, as we call it. And can you tell us a little bit about where you're located and what kind of environment the Wildlife Center is in itself?
We are just off of Interstate 64. We're located in Waynesboro, Virginia, which is in Augusta County. We're just over the mountain from Charlottesville. I'm a native of Colorado, and I got to say, I can't really refer to that as a mountain.
Okay, fair enough.
We would call that a big hill.
Yeah.
We're located. We have a great location. We're actually nestled right up against the National Forest. It's convenient to the interstate, so it's easy for people to bring animals to us. But we're set back in the woods, so it's a nice, quiet, serene place for our animal patients to recover. We have room to expand here and room to grow, and it's a very nice facility. This is the Wildlife Center started actually in an old horse barn here in Waynesboro. We've moved a couple of times, but this has been our home for more than a decade. It's in a facility that we built as a veterinary hospital, and it serves our needs very well.
One of the things that I think is wonderful about the Wildlife Center is that not only do you treat birds and mammals, but you treat reptiles and amphibians as well.
We treat all native wild species. About two-thirds, I think, of our patients are birds, ranging in size from a hummingbird to a bald eagle. But we also treat a variety of mammal species. And as you know, we treat amphibians, we treat reptiles, we treat frogs and toads. We treat a fair number of turtles every year. We get a number of turtles that have come to us because they've been hit by cars or have been hit by lawnmowers or attacked by dogs.
So the goal of the center is to release these animals back to the wild. Is that right?
Absolutely. What we do is we admit wild animals that are sick, injured, or orphaned, and we try to get them restored to health so that we can return them to the wild with the opportunity to live and thrive in a wild environment. Our goal is, for example, when we treat a bald eagle that may come in with any number of injuries, our hope is that we can get that bird fixed up with the ability to hunt and thrive on its own.
How, if a person, in listening to us today, if a person finds a wild animal that needs care, how would they get that animal to you? Or are there branches of the Wildlife Center here in the Richmond area?
There are a variety of alternatives, and I think my advice to your listeners is if they find a wild animal that seems to need care, is the first thing to do is to call the Wildlife Center. We're open from 9 to 5, 7 days a week, so please give us a call and or check our website, which is www.wildlifecenter.org, and we have some suggestions there for dealing with wildlife issues. There are volunteer permitted rehabbers all across the Commonwealth. There's a network of them in Richmond. There are others located across the state. We have the best and most up-to-date information on who those rehabbers are, their areas of expertise and specialty. So if you call us from Henrico County and you've got a rabbit that's been hit by a car, we might be able to give you a couple of suggestions for rehabilitation or care options that are closer to you. We're happy to take animals from any place. If folks want to bring animals up here, that's good as well. The other thing I guess we should talk about is that in addition to finding places where animals should be brought for care, is we also work with callers to figure out whether a wild animal really needs any care. Every year we get lots of calls from people who have found deer fawns that seem to be abandoned. And part of our job is to explain that mother deer leaves the fawn by itself for much of the day. She goes off so as to not attract attention or a possible predator to her fawn. She leaves, and she comes and feeds that fawn twice a day. So if you find a fawn by itself, it doesn't mean it's abandoned. It doesn't mean that it needs care. Most likely things are just fine. So one of the things that we try to encourage people to do is to figure out whether an animal really does need human intervention.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Indie Media Live on WRIR. I'm Rebecca Ferris, and I'm talking with Randy Hua. He is the Executive Vice President of the Wildlife Center of Virginia. And we are talking about some of the amazing things that the Wildlife Center accomplishes, not just in the Commonwealth, but around the world as well. We'll get to that in a moment. But Randy, I just want to remind our listeners that if they're looking for a great stocking stuffer, they can contact the Wildlife Center.
We do have some interesting stocking stuffers, some great Christmas gifts, Christmas and holiday gifts. We have a core of about 24 animals that are permanent residents here that because of behavioral modifications or because of injuries, they can't be released back into the wild. We have a bald eagle. We have a golden eagle. We have a variety of hawks and owls and possums, snakes, turtles. And through our Caring for Critters program, people can sponsor those animals, can receive a very nice adoption packet, which includes a photo of the animal, a certificate of appreciation, information about that particular patient. And during the course of the sponsorship period, sponsorship can be either 6 months or a year, we'll also provide email updates to the adopters, to give information about what that animal's up to. Has it made a special appearance at a state fair? Has it gone to a school? Has it been in the newspaper? It's a great way, I think, of helping the Wildlife Center, of helping wild animals, and also connecting to one of our education animals.
Oh, that sounds so wonderful. You know, regular listeners to Indie Media Live are well aware of the Wildlife Center and some of the releases that you've had in 2011. And some of the educational programs that you put on, your open houses. Can we talk a little bit about all of that?
Absolutely. We are, as we've talked, we are a wildlife hospital, so we're not generally regularly open for tours. We're not set up for that. We're set up to care for wild animals as a hospital, not as an attraction. We do have a series of open houses. Usually on the weekends, we do them spring, summer, and fall. There's no charge for these. We do ask that people make reservations in advance, and I will warn your listeners that they generally fill up.
To warn them about that too.
It is an opportunity for folks to come, take a tour of the center, see our medical facilities, meet some of our staff, and also meet some of our education animals. We've got some wonderful characters. Who are animals who live here. I think probably one of our new favorites is Buttercup, who's a black vulture. People might not think that a black vulture would be an animal that is particularly charismatic, but these are people who have never met Buttercup. She is a wonderful, a lively, intelligent, and she's very charismatic.
I also am very impressed with the way you reach out to the public and try and educate all of us on what wildlife in Virginia goes through on a daily basis. And I appreciate you telling us a story about the fawn and how the mother leaves it on its own during the day, so not to worry sometimes. But there's another myth that I'd like to help people understand, and that is that when you throw an apple core or a banana peel out the window, that can actually put wildlife in danger.
I think many of us who have been well-schooled in the dangers of litter also think that it would be okay to toss an apple core out the window or a banana peel or something like that, thinking that that is a snack for a wild animal. That's absolutely true. The problem is we've now set up a snack bar for wild animals on the shoulder of a road. And what that means is that small animals, mice, squirrels, chipmunks, are attracted to that roadside venue, and that puts them in danger of being hit by a car. And in addition, we've also meant that also means that owls and hawks, for example, that prey on those animals are also attracted to the side of the road and are more likely to be hit by cars. I think many people are surprised to learn the large number of hawks and owls that we get particularly at this time of year, that have been hit by cars. And they basically have been attracted to the shoulder of the road by some small prey animal that's been drawn by litter. When a hawk or an owl locks on to a mouse on the other side of the road, they're not really paying any attention to the oncoming traffic, and so they swoop into harm's way. So what we ask, you know, part of our mission here is that critters don't need litter, and we probably all learn not to throw out napkins and soda cans, but we also should remember not to throw out an apple core or a banana peel.
What are some of the other steps that the Wildlife Center takes to educate the public about threats to wildlife?
I think we do regular classes for people who are wildlife rehabilitators, people who provide care for wild animals. We are a wildlife hospital. Not all animals need, just as is true for humans, not all animals need hospitalization, although some of them may need care. So we work with this volunteer network of about 200 rehabbers across the Commonwealth. They provide ongoing care for animals in need, particularly young orphaned animals. We also, through the release of animals, sometimes we will do a public event when we release an animal. It's the opportunity for people to come and witness one of the great success stories. This year, for example, I think many people have come to know more about the Wildlife Center of Virginia because of three bald eagle chicks that hatched out at the Norfolk Botanical Garden. They were international stars because their nest was on a webcam, and people had watched them from the time that they were eggs and had watched them hatch and had watched them start to grow. The mother eagle was killed by a plane at the Norfolk International Airport, and those three little chicks were brought here at age of about 5 or 6 weeks, and through Critter Cam, they were able to watch, folks were able to watch those eagles mature and grow, and were able to join us. Many people were able to join us for the release of those animals. We actually took them to Berkeley Plantation, which is on the James River, right below Richmond, which is wonderful eagle habitat. And we had someplace around 1,000 or 1,200 people who joined us for that release. Those are great success stories, and we're happy to have people come and be a part of that.
Were you there, Andy?
I was there. We actually did. We released five bald eagles that day, which was the first for the organization. We released the three from Norfolk as well as two other juvenile eagles that had come in to us. And as it turned out, all of them had spent time here. They'd spent time in our flight pen. They had demonstrated to us that that they were ready to go. So it was a great event. It was also really hot.
How did you feel when you saw them soaring?
Well, it's funny because whenever you release Ed Clark, who is our president, has released many eagles, and he has said every time I release one, my heart stops. And I've got to say, as somebody who watches this, you kind of have the same reaction. There's always a moment of holding your breath and saying, is this bird going to make it? Is this bird going to take off? Can this bird fly and fly away? And that's what they do.
That's so great. If you've just tuned in, we're talking with Randy Hua, the Executive Vice President of the Wildlife Center of Virginia. And we are finding out all about the wonderful work that the Wildlife Center does for the wildlife of Virginia. Randy, do you also do presentations in schools for school children? How does the Wildlife Center interact with the next generation?
We do. For now nearly 30 years, we have gone into schools with some of our education animals to do presentations to school kids and teachers. We generally take with us a hawk, an owl, a possum, and a snake, and use these animals as living examples of Virginia wildlife and some of the threats to wildlife. Many of them are linked to human behavior, like, for example, the litter problem that we talked about earlier. That's a great way for kids to see a wild animal. Many of us don't have the opportunity to really study a hawk up close as you can when there's a hawk sitting in front of your classroom. Increasingly, we're also using the Internet as a way of reaching audiences, not only kids but also adults. We, earlier this year, launched what we call Critter Cam, which is a web-based camera which streams images, live images from the Wildlife Center, so that you can watch a bald eagle in its flight pen as it grows, as it learns to fly. We're currently working on a red-tailed hawk, for example, that's here as a patient, and get the opportunity to watch him. It's a moderated chat, which means that there is the opportunity for folks to post questions and observations, and we have a core of volunteers and also some staff people who serve as moderators. They have encyclopedic knowledge about wildlife, so they can talk about the particular animals that are on the camera, but also can talk about other wildlife issues as well. And it certainly is it's a great opportunity. I encourage folks to come visit, check our Critter Cam, see who's on, and see what the conversation's about.
I love Critter Cam.
It's great.
It is so great. WildlifeCenter.org. It is so much fun.
It's completely addictive, and many people watch it a lot and really come to know these animals and learn a lot about them and some of their idiosyncrasies, some of their behaviors, and to watch them develop and grow. It's great fun.
In the few minutes that we have left, Randy, you mentioned before that the Wildlife Center has wildlife rehabilitators around the Commonwealth. If we have listeners that are interested in finding out more about that program, how does it work? How does a person become certified as a wildlife rehabilitator?
This is a program that's established by the Commonwealth of Virginia. It's administered by the Virginia Department of Game and Inland Fisheries. If someone is interested in that program, again, they can visit our website. We have information about it, or they can contact us. But it starts as an apprenticeship program. An individual would work with an experienced rehabilitator. Most people develop a particular area of expertise. They will work with young birds, or they will work with rabbits and squirrels, or they might work with turtles. But these folks are a great asset and provide a real service in terms of taking care of animals. Most of these people are doing it out of their homes, not terribly sophisticated physical facilities, but these rehabbers have a great wealth of experience and knowledge about taking care of animal needs.
We spoke earlier about some of the threats to wildlife, and I just briefly wanted to touch on the idea of climate change and how that's affecting habitat of wildlife all around the world. I know that we've heard a lot about that in the news recently because of the meetings in Durban, South Africa. But Randy, have you noticed any impacts of climate change on the wildlife of Virginia yourself?
I've been at the center for 5 years. Ed Clark, who is our president, has been here since the beginning. He and a group of three others started the Wildlife Center of Virginia at his dining room table. And certainly if you talk to Ed about some of the changes that he has seen over nearly three decades, I think the changes that we are seeing are changes in the cycle of when babies are born, for example, or when young animals are born. It used to be, Ed tells us, that we never admitted the deer fawns came into us in June and July. We're now starting to see them in May, June, and July. It used to be that there was a fairly distinct season for the birth of squirrels. That's all getting blurred. We're seeing squirrels being born earlier in the year and later in the year. So I think those are the kinds of things that we see, the changes that we see in wildlife here in Virginia.
And as we're wrapping up now, I wonder if you would feel comfortable sharing with our listeners some of your own personal journey. How did you come to this amazing work?
As we mentioned earlier, I'm a native of Colorado. I came to the East Coast to go to graduate school. I gradually worked my way south and lived and worked in Washington, D.C. for 20 years. Had a weekend house in Madison County, which became our full-time house at a certain point. And my first introduction to the Wildlife Center, it was like many people's, I guess. I found some young squirrels that seemed to have been abandoned by mom. So I called the Wildlife Center, got some great advice, actually brought the squirrels here, was very impressed by the facility. And that was my introduction to the center. It went from there, but basically it's a wonderful place that provides state-of-the-art quality health care for wild animals in need. We're not a state agency. We're a nonprofit. We don't charge people to bring animals here. We rely on the kindness and the generosity of caring individuals.
Do these animals inspire you in your home life?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, my wife and I are blessed to live basically in a very rural setting. We have lots of wild animals around us. And to see them there and to see them here as well, there's a special richness to it for me.
Well, I thank you so much, Randy Hewitt, Executive Vice President of the Wildlife Center of Virginia. We want to remind everybody that a great stocking stuffer, if you're looking for one, is a Caring for Critters gift certificate. You can find out more about that at wildlifecenter.org. And we just look forward to more Critter Cam next year. Thank you so much, Randy.
It's been my pleasure, Rebecca. Thank you.
On behalf of LaShante Goffigan, my engineer, and all the other wonderful volunteers at WRIR who make Indie Media Live possible, thank you for listening today. We hope that you'll tune in next week when my guest will be Chelsea Harnish from the Chesapeake Climate Action Network, helping us get ready for the 2012 General Assembly. Until then, be kind to yourselves, to each other, to the animals, and to the planet. But don't be silent, because silence is the voice of complicity. We wish you peace.